In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen. Today in the Orthodox Church is the Sunday of the myrrh-bearing women. This feast day falls on the second Sunday after Pascha, as we continue to celebrate the Lord's resurrection and commemorate the persons and events surrounding Christ's resurrection from the dead. Remember, Pascha is not a single day. It's not just a church service we go to late one Saturday evening. Pascha is an event, yes, but one that spans history and geography and time itself. Every Sunday is a celebration of Pascha, and we are called to live in the Lord's Pascha and keep the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our hearts and always before our eyes. And today, before us, we have the myrrh-bearing women, Saints Mary Magdalene, Mary the wife of Cleopas, Joanna, Salome, Susanna, along with Mary and Martha. In addition, we also remember Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who played an integral role in asking for the body of the Savior and his proper burial. In addition, today we also remember a great spiritual writer of the 19th century church, St. Ignatius Brancatenov. Now, I didn't know that we actually celebrated St. Ignatius Brancatenov today until a few days ago. But it's a perfect fit along with the Sunday of the Myrrh-Bearers, because St. Ignatius wrote a beautiful homily for the Sunday of the Myrrh-Bearers that I would like to tell you all about today. There are some very beautiful insights that I found helpful in my reading of this homily for this Sunday, and I hope that you'll find them helpful as well. To begin with, and this is not unique to St. Ignatius, is the fact that the myrrh-bearing women are the first among humanity to receive the exact and sure testimony of Christ's resurrection. As St. Ignatius says, sometimes the myrrh-bearers are called the apostles to the apostles even. St. Ignatius sees this as important, for as he says in his homily, it shows the impartiality of God, which is shown countless times throughout Scripture. For example, think about the Nativity and who's there. It's not Herod who's present. It's not Caesar Augustus. It's shepherds and wise men and livestock. The same is true for Christ's resurrection. It's not great men of renown or the great spiritual leaders of the time. It's not the Pharisees or the Sanhedrin or the Sadducees. It's a handful of devout women who above all simply loved Christ. And you can see this in their ardent love for Christ. You can see it first in their actions after their Lord and Savior's death. You see, they didn't quit caring for Christ once he had died and once he had been taken down from the cross. Their love for him extended beyond this. They reverently prepared his body for burial. And the myrrh-bearers were the first on the scene, early in the morning at the tomb, right at the end of the Sabbath. The myrrh-bearers returned at the earliest possible moment after the Sabbath, at the dawn towards the first day of the week. They returned as soon as they possibly could, as soon as the Sabbath rest day was over, as Luke 23 recounts, and they returned wishing to anoint Jesus' body with myrrh, which had not been done before the Sabbath. The myrrh-bearers come as soon as they can, and they have no idea what to expect to find. They didn't even know how or who would roll away the heavy stone from the tomb for them. That's how much they loved Christ. And this is where the wisdom of St. Ignatius Brancatenov comes in. You see, St. Ignatius sees all of the following events, the tomb, the myrrh-bearers, the stone, and the resurrection, as a beautiful symbol for our inner spiritual life. And he explains this in great detail in his homily. The tomb, St. Ignatius says, the tomb is the heart of each and every one of us. This tomb, St. Ignatius says, used to be a temple, but has become a tomb, and as such has become desecrated. Now, what can reconsecrate this temple to its former beauty? For St. Ignatius, it's baptism. Baptism and chrismation are the means by which God comes to dwell in his temple once again. Nevertheless, as we sin, as we forget our first love and fall back towards the world, our heart is in danger of once again becoming a tomb. And not just a tomb, but a tomb with a great stone rolled over the entrance. This great stone is the obstacle to our own resurrections. This great stone over our hearts, which were once temples but are now tombs. And this large stone rolled over our hearts is what St. Ignatius calls insensibility, or the deadening of the spirit. For St. Ignatius, this is an especially dangerous condition in our own times. St. Ignatius says that insensibility is the deadening of spiritual feelings, the unseen death of the human soul with respect to spiritual things in a life that is flourishing, in a life that is flourishing with respect to material things. It often occurs when we make excuses for sin, excuses for prayer, excuses for church, for charity, when we don't read scripture in the lives of the saints, and in addition to all of this, when we are also drowning in material abundance. St. Ignatius has essentially addressed the biggest danger that the modern Christian faces and says that in this insensibility to God, we forget eternity. Then comes all the other bad habits that follow insensibility. Idle talk, harsh judgment, derision, pursuing empty amusements, not for the sake of anything but numbness, and above all, no introspection into our own spiritual shortcomings. When this insensibility becomes second nature, St. Ignatius says that it's like a seal which is placed on the stone of our hearts, covering our tomb. Now, this sickness of insensibility has various levels and can be found in most people. Some have it to a greater degree than others, and some fight courageously against it. This second group, St. Ignatius compares to the myrrh bearers as they cry out, "Who shall roll away the stone for us from the door of the tomb?" And as St. Ignatius says, when we cry this from the depths of our souls, we are filled with anguish, sadness, and perplexity, and it awakens our soul. We begin to see the sickness that assails us, that covers the temple of our soul, and we once again desire to follow God. St. Ignatius says that insensibility can be guarded against through three actions. Three actions that the one who notices that their soul is becoming hardened can do. First, there is attentiveness. Second, there is patience. And third, there is compunction. When we realize the deadening feeling in our soul, in our hearts, we should not hand wave it away as if it were nothing. But we should be attentive to the feeling and bear with it in patience. Bear with the boredom that comes with our spiritual lives sometimes, and not give in to old habits that we have left behind. Finally, we must have compunction. Compunction towards ourselves and awareness of God's compassion towards us. And this is the final key. We can't pull ourselves out of this pit by ourselves, as St. Ignatius says. Insensibility is once and for all destroyed by the action of divine grace. And in all of this, St. Ignatius says, we must become like the myrrh bearers. We must cry out with them, "Who will roll away the stone from the tomb for us?" And when we come to the tomb of our hearts with compunction, this compunction is what will unseal and roll away the rock from the tomb. This brings us joy, and out of gratitude, we bring the Lord fragrant myrrh. But just as the myrrh bearers did not know of the risen Lord when they brought their myrrh, we too do not know or understand God's mercy when we come back to him. Arriving at the tomb of our heart, we offer our good intentions to the Lord as myrrh, fearful of how he will repay us. But as St. Ignatius says, the Lord does not need our good intentions for himself. We actually need them. And though we bring our good intentions like myrrh to the Lord's tomb, it is up to us to renounce our former way of life and to enter into the service of the Lord once again. St. Ignatius concludes that this takes time. Time is needed to erase sinful impressions, he says, and time is needed for us to be marked by the impressions of the Holy Spirit. Time is needed to adorn ourselves in the garments of virtue and the God-beloved qualities that adorn all those who dwell with God. So it takes time. And in the meantime, what we must do is prepare to go to the tomb. We must prepare to go to the tomb of our hearts that were once temples. And as we prepare to go, we don't go empty-handed. We prepare myrrh for the journey, our intention again to follow Christ, our intention to anoint him with our compunction and mercy and good works. And in doing so, we will not find a tomb, but a temple. And within the temple, we will find the resurrected Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
Truly.